Hello, welcome back to another episode of Queerpreneurs Unleashed. I'm your host, Dustin Balcom. My pronouns are he, him. And I get the privilege and pleasure of chatting with some rad 2S LGBT plus entrepreneurs. Today we're recording on the traditional and ancestral territory of the Sioux Okanagan people, which we honor and respect the land on which we work, live, and play. And today I'm pleased to welcome Sean to the podcast. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks, Dustin. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's good. It's the first time I've actually had some stretching right before, so I got to actually experience a bit of the business that we're chatting about today.
Please tell me you feel really good now.
I do. I really do. Yeah, and sitting on these balls, it's good. With a little bit of my ADHD, I can kind of move around a bit and not sit so still. But so tell us a bit about yourself.
Well, I'm a gay man. A husband, a father of three, with my partner Patrick, and identify as he, him, and good human.
Yeah,
and yeah, that's sort of the biggest thing. I'd say being a parent is almost the bigger identity these days, as opposed to, you know, swanky urban gay male, or even when I was a dancer. Like, those identities are a little bit put away,
right,
or just not in the foreground as much right now.
So actually, and this is actually our first time being in the Vernon area recording. It's been almost all Kelowna except for this last week. We're actually in Kamloops for our first one there as well, so it's it's good to get outside home turf. But how long has Vernon been home?
We moved here in 2015.
Okay.
My partner grew up here, though. They moved here from Vancouver when he was 10.
Okay.
And you know, in and out and stuff like that. But we met and he moved to Toronto, where I was, for quite a number of years. And then we moved back once we had children. And it felt important to be closer to family. His is here and mine's in Alberta. And to give our children history and connections broader than just Patrick and I.
Right.
So we moved to the Okanagan.
That's great.
And it was stinking hot. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to dry up like a raisin here. Why are we here?
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's lovely.
Not quite as humid as Toronto.
No, not at all. It's like arid and deserty and like cracking.
But at least you got a great lake nearby that you can go and jump in and all of that. So, and a lot less smoggy. Outside of the forest fires, of course, when we have those.
There's that, right?
Yeah. At least you got, you know, lots of trees around you and all of that. Yeah. So
aerating.
Yeah.
Fresh air.
Exactly. So tell me a bit about your coming out and what that looked like.
Well, you know, I'm from PEI. Okay. I was born there. My parents are East Coast. And we moved to Alberta when I was young. And around the age of 4 or 5, I knew I was gay. You know, I had a little boy crush on a young guy.
As we do.
As you do. So, you know, it's one of those things. Officially, I came out when I was 21. Okay. After I'd already spent a few years in professional dance school. But I had known forever. But growing up in a small town in Alberta, you know, you don't, like, you just wouldn't say that at all. Like, I mean, and the thing is, you know, I was teased for being gay and all of that stuff. Like, it's not like we all didn't know there was something different about me. But to admit that, I mean, years later, I wish I had, because it would have been empowering to be able to do that. But it was, you know, it felt a little bit dangerous to do that then. And so it was a few years later, you know, it's funny, I went to dance school and then I probably would have dealt with it even earlier because I was able to be out at dance school, kind of. But it was a very accepting environment. But I didn't want to be a stereotypical gay dancer. Guess what? I'm a stereotypical gay dancer. Like, duh. So that was, you know, something, I guess that's kind of called internalized homophobia.
Right.
So I dealt with that. And when, you know, and then I was going to be traveling for dancing. And it was important to me that I'd be able to communicate honestly with my parents. And my parents are great people. And so, you know, I told them I'm gay, and my mom was, you know, kind of surprised, not surprised, you know.
She probably always
like,
knew.
Oh, I'm surprised. And then I kind of wonder, I'm like, yeah. And my dad didn't say anything. And I said, Dad, you're, you know, not saying much. And he's like, well, there's really nothing I can do about it. And that seems harsh, but at the same time, it was really honest. Yeah. He just needed time to
totally
take it in. And now, you know, they're proud of me. They're proud of my career. They love my children. I mean, my sister had three kids long before I had our three. Okay. And, you know, the first thing my mom said when the children were placed with us, oh, I've got double the grandchildren. You know, like, it's great.
Perfect, yeah.
So, yeah, I think leaving that small town, which I did when I went to dance school, was important to do.
I mean, that seems like a pretty good coming out with the family. And I mean, we've heard kind of quite the range of coming out stories so far.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, I was very fortunate that my parents are great and for me and for my family. And I know people who, I understand really clearly why you have chosen family.
Right.
I know people whose experience was not that at all. And the, you know, people who are my friends, and I realize how wonderfully boring my family is in that we're just, you know, live and let live, you know, there's no excitement or drama about things like that. Also, I mean, I'm mixed race. It doesn't really look it, but my mother married the Chinese boy in PEI.
Okay.
Right. So they're already a little different in that, you know, there's a different ethnic in my family, which was different when my parents were married, you know, 50 some years ago, 60 years ago.
Yeah.
So they're already quite accepting.
Okay. Which is good. It's helpful. I mean, part of also chatting with this is just showing no matter what that first part of your life was and what that coming out, what your coming out was, that you can still be successful in what you do.
Absolutely.
Right? Whether it's been good or bad.
Yeah, so. I think that's where who your friends are is huge.
Yeah, the chosen family side of things.
And having that and being able to talk frankly with people. People who know, you know, don't just say, oh no, it's just fine. You know, your mom's just a little bit upset. Like, but they say, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
And obviously they don't get it. People who can understand what it's like.
Yeah.
I think that's really valuable and important in a small marginalized community.
Yeah, absolutely. I love asking, and this is something newer that I haven't always been asking, is something that might be unique about you that many people might not know.
Ah, well, I think I've said them all.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, like father of three, that's unusual. People might not know that.
Yeah.
And I mean, I had a full dance career before we moved here.
Right.
For 25 years.
Okay.
And that's, you know, a different kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything really surprising.
Okay. Fair enough. What type of dance?
I was classically trained.
Okay.
So I was with a ballet company for a while, and then I switched to when I felt it's interesting. Ballet was great because it's like rules, you know.
Right.
You do this. Your shape should look like this. You do this on the time. And that was great as a young man. And then I wanted to switch to modern and contemporary. That excited me more, but you're much more independent and need to put yourself out there more. And I knew that I needed to be a little more mature before I was ready to go to a contemporary modern company. So I did that when I was 28.
Okay.
And I went to Toronto.
Yeah.
And worked with a lot of companies there and choreographers. Toronto Dance Theatre I was with for 9 years. And it was great. And I've been able to dance on tour and things all across Canada, into the States, Europe, Asia.
Okay.
It was kind of like joining the Marines, but without all the other guys and the threat of losing your life, you know.
we've actually worked with Ballet Kelowna a couple times.
Oh, yeah.
So we recorded and did some streaming over the pandemic, and then a little bit of recording afterwards, but we were just, it was 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago, as of this recording date, that we went and watched the Ballet Kelowna.
Oh, yeah. You saw Mustard?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. Robert is a great choreographer.
Yeah.
I danced briefly with Simone. We were in the Banff Festival Ballet for like a summer.
Yeah.
So I know her as well. She's great. She's, I think, a really wonderful addition to Ballet Kelowna and where they're at right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, having worked with her a number of times now, I just get how to work with her because she's very different than a lot of the different groups that we've worked with, whether it be in the arts community or otherwise, just in how particular is not the right word.
She's specific.
Specific, thank
which
you.
Which I think is very helpful.
Agreed.
You know, as a dancer too, when a choreographer knows what they want, it's helpful then rather than you doing something and saying, oh, that's not it. Could you show me something else? Yeah. Like, I can. Still don't know if that's what you want. So right. Simone's directness, I think, is really helpful.
Yes.
For that company right now.
Agreed. So I want to change gears and talk more about the business, which is why we're here. So obviously I got to experience it a bit this morning or earlier today before we got into this, but tell me your business.
It's Centered Pilates, yep. And it's in Vernon. And, you know, when I first moved to Toronto, a good friend of mine who I danced with, she was a Pilates. She had changed from dancing to Pilates.
Okay.
Pilates is a technique of training that works on body alignment and strength and applies to many different activities. And it's really great for dancers. And when I moved to Toronto, I just ruptured my Achilles tendon, so I had to rehab. And, you know, she said, oh, I'm buying a studio. You're on the schedule in May. Go do your course. Because Pilates was a great part-time moonlighting gig. Yep. So I now have my own Pilates studio.
Right.
And it's, you know, it's great because what I really like about it from how I'm approaching it is it's about people's authentic movement. What's movement for them?
Yeah.
And how do they move well? And helping to propagate that, as opposed to you should look this way, you should lift this much, you should, you know, have this shape in order to be healthy. So I like that it takes away the superficial and it gives people to recognize how they feel from within and how they move and enjoy their movement. Yeah. And if we move well, we're stronger and things work better. But also it's, you know, people are quite happy when they embody themselves and not trying to meet an external sense of achievement or satisfaction. Right. Not that those things don't matter. I mean, they all do.
Sure.
But I like, you know, here particularly, my population that I work with is a little younger than me, not very many.
Okay.
To, you know, in towards 70 right. and above, actually 80. So people who are either just starting Pilates, older, you know, this lifestyle here, I want to ski, I want to do this, I'm falling apart. What's, you know, it's giving the opportunity for people to balance their alignment, feel strength in that, and importantly, recognize it. Right. So they know, oh, this is good. How I'm skiing feels good. This is what it should feel like. Or this doesn't feel right. What do I need to change? And the recognition that you can change that. And so Pilates gives those sort of balancing tools, mm-hmm. you know, of alignment and awareness and then applying that. So whatever you get in the studio, you take with you.
Right.
It's not requirement to have me or the equipment. It's just you. Yeah. And I like that client focus for it right. a lot. Yeah. I think it's really important for clients to feel empowered with how they feel.
Absolutely.
And not rely on an outside person to say, oh, you should be feeling good right now, right? I mean, I know I did say that to you, but that's more like it should feel good, not bad.
Right.
And if it feels not great, then we should change what we're doing.
Of course. Yes. And how long have you been doing it for here?
Here, the studio, it's going into year 3.
Okay.
Yeah. The private part, the little room that we're in right now, was a year before that. So that's into year 4. When I moved here, I was, you know, I got a job with a couple of Pilates studios here. And I realized that, you know, my work ethic was different than those businesses. And, you know, that's their business, not mine. And I should go do my own business.
Right.
So that's how I became an entrepreneur. Totally not what I wanted to do. I much prefer working. I was a dancer. I prefer to be told what to do by somebody else. And that, you know, really wasn't working.
Yeah. So how did you overcome that where it was, you like being told what to do, but now you're telling yourself what to do?
Right. That was hard.
Yeah.
Partly, I mean, it just really came to focus. How much do I care about that client experience?
Right.
You know, the clients of where I'm working. Mm-hmm. And also I control that environment and I can improve that environment. Right. So it became focusing on that and the kind of experience I wanted to create for people. And that helped, you know, make this change to me being my own business. Right. And I started gradually, you know, I started teaching in this spare room in our home where it's had a separate bathroom. Okay. And then there was COVID and I started teaching in a little cabin.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and then we did this small studio and then I wanted to work with other instructors, you know, right. and not be in isolation. Yeah. So we expanded into having a group studio. So there are more people here now. It's a little more dynamic. And I'm also an instructor trainer. Okay. I have been for quite a number of years. Yeah. And I'm trained in a couple of different methods or modalities of movement.
Okay.
So I like educating others about that. And so this space allows me to do that.
Yeah.
So I think the gradual thing also helped a lot, that it right. wasn't like, oh, I'm going to hire 4 employees, have 6 machines, and, you know, yeah. build a 1,000 square foot studio right. now.
Yeah.
Right. That's that I would have said, don't.
And I think that's a more common path with entrepreneurship is kind of, especially if you're used to, you know, a previous life where you're told what to do. So yeah. you kind of, you dip your toes a little bit, right? Yeah. And it's not as big of a risk to get started. And then you can kind of continually grow from there.
For sure.
Yeah.
And a good advice I was given was, so, you know, you're good at what you do, right? Mm-hmm. You're a producer. Mm-hmm. I'm an instructor. I'm good at what I do.
Absolutely.
It doesn't necessarily make me a good business person.
Right.
And so I want to develop business that allows me to do what I do, but can run itself, can be contribute to the economy of other yeah, people
right.
or to my clients. That's not just all based on me. So I had to really change from I'm a good instructor to what should my business be
yeah.
to support other people, which also supports me and gives me time. So changing that a little bit
right.
to not being the person carrying it all,
yeah.
but with the intention of, you know, I'm going to work a lot, and I still do, but work a lot so that I can get other people involved as right. well.
So in that aspect, so do you contract out some parts of the business? Is that
I have kind of... three instructors who work here,
okay.
just a few hours a yeah. week, and they have a couple of private clients. They're teaching group classes, and that's sustainable, right?
Right,
and having 4 people in a group rather than just 1 instructor, 1 client, which is a great ratio for the client.
Sure.
But group classes can be really fun too. You get Absolutely. That group dynamic. So, yeah. and that also excites me to not always be so intensely focused.
Right.
Right. To have a broader, lighter vibe, right? Yeah. Like we're going to work out today or it's about fitness. And that's the other thing. Private classes are often related towards rehab or individual right. goals and needs,
right.
whereas group classes can be more about good movement, but general fitness, which
right.
we all need. And they don't have to be as, I mean, I keep going back and forth. You can see there's a bit of gray. There's a bit yeah, of gray in it.
For sure. There's both. They both have their benefits.
They don't have yeah. to be, group classes don't have to be super specific, but at the same time, I have specific levels.
Right.
So if this is appropriate for you, you can be in this group class.
Right.
This group class is not appropriate for you
yeah.
and, you know, come do some privates, but I don't want you in that group class because I don't want it to be unsafe for you.
Of course.
And I don't want it to detract from the experience of the other clients who are used to a certain speed or pace or intensity. Yeah. So there's some recognition and Absolutely. And why you have levels
right.
that people, you know, you saw how complicated the equipment is. If you're unfamiliar with it, you know, you yeah. could get hogtied and left around a tower and, you know, liability.
Yeah, or like let go in a spring and it goes,
ba-ding.
Yeah.
yeah. You don't need Take that someone kneecap else. Yeah. anyway.
No.
Right.
Someone, you know, gets a concussion off that. But yeah, yeah.
exactly. Yeah. I don't want that.
No, really no, definitely. Don't want that. Liability. Yeah. Trust me, I've been through that with insurance. Yeah. It's not fun.
No.
yeah. yeah. But that's why we have insurance. Hmm. How does, and maybe it doesn't, but how does your gay identity play into your business?
Well, I mean, I don't know if you heard how I introduced myself, mixed straight gay man, husband, yeah. 3 children. I'm kind of a very visible yeah. minority here. So just being me, I'm practically a rainbow flag.
Right.
You know, I thought about putting Love is Love on the studio window. And I'm like, I feel like people get that just by
right.
knowing me and coming to my business, right? Yeah. I don't come out to clients.
Right.
I say, that's my husband Patrick driving by on the tractor in the orchard, you know. Which it's a weird experience. But I think how it impacts my business is that, and I've become more conscious of this, I tell people what I'm doing.
Okay.
You know, I went to gay pride dance or gay bingo. You know, I'm concerned about the protesters against trans rights in schools, gender equality. So I talk about those things that I care about.
Absolutely.
And I feel like that's, you know, a lot of people, when you have a small business like this and you work quite closely with people, you end up attracting like-minded people.
Absolutely.
So a lot of people who come here already are on a similar wavelength of open-mindedness and equality. Yes. And also, I do think, though, I am educating or exposing people to a queer identity, what it could be and how it can be very different, but also it's not that different.
No.
I mean, I'm a parent.
Absolutely.
We're in white Okanagan Bible Belt. I'm one of many, 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 many other parents here, you know, so there's a lot to relate there too. But I feel like that's my business, is exposing people to their own movement. And I hate the word acceptance, but recognition of others.
Absolutely.
And even within a group situation, like if you think of going to a gym or something, there can be a competitiveness, competitiveness or a judgment. And that's not here. You know, you're moving this fast, this pace, that's great. The person next to you, they're moving differently. That's fine.
Totally.
You know, they're doing what's good for them. It can drive the instructor crazy when everybody's moving at different paces and you have to like zoom it in. But there's, they're doing them and they're doing it safely and well. And you're doing you. And that's a gorgeous thing.
Absolutely.
So I think that acceptance on all levels is what my business is doing in the greater community.
I love it. I think we talked about this a bit already, but I shouldn't say we talked about this specifically. We've talked about some of the challenges kind of getting going from, you know, being a dancer and being told what to do to, to having that. But what have you found to be your biggest challenge so far on this entrepreneurial journey?
Putting in an elevator pitch.
Okay.
You know, being able to articulate what I do or what the business, I mean, even just being able to describe Pilates, which I think I did not too badly this time. I've had to work on that a lot. And it varies to the audience, to who I'm talking about. It's a little bit, I mean, it's so individual, right? How you move your body, how, you know, what you want from the experience is very different from somebody else. And what's great about Pilates is that we can make it for you. So how do I describe that to the general public? Oh, well, we're just going to, you know, move your shoulders. And like, it's finding the language to describe what I do. Was a real challenge. That was hard. I did. And this, actually, this is something I recommend to anybody who's getting started. There's Community Futures. And they're here in Vernon, and they have this, like, they're a great resource. They have all of these small business courses, working with mentors, other business people, and they had Enterprise Challenge, which is for small businesses. And I did that. And that was a great challenge and effort. It's like, focus on your business. What is your business? How does your business get started? How do you get supplies for your business? How do you, you know, do you have staff? What's your mission statement? All of this stuff over and over and over again. And I would never have dedicated that much time to learning my business unless I had done that Enterprise Challenge and or and also done some of those, there were workshops with people in the business and marketing, in finances, all of this stuff that really made a huge difference. And not feel so worried, because I knew my business. By the time that challenge was over, I knew what I was doing. And that seems weird because, you know, I already knew what I was doing. But being able to talk it and think it and just know your business inside out from, you know, no matter how small, was huge. And certainly helped with that feeling of responsibility
right.
of having a business, yeah. knowing it really well.
I think it sometimes takes those outside people to help us because
yep.
in our head, we know exactly what we need to do and what we do. But it's like, yes, that articulation of it.
Well, in my head, right. I knew already I didn't know. Like I actually know quite well what yeah. what I could do and yeah. and not do, and I knew that's not in my wheelhouse
right.
at all.
Okay,
but it needs to be because I can't hire a marketing staff and you know an accountant. Not you know like I'm not that big.
Right.
So it was a relief to have these courses. This mentor I had, a great mentor, helped me do all of that. And it's right. and really it was just like, you know, okay, tell me what you're doing. And I tell him, he's like, okay, now explain that to me. And then, okay, go back and work on that. You know, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I will. You know, or yeah, not quite right. Go yeah. back, you know. So I think you want to know. Mm-hmm. You want to know what it is you're offering, why. And I mean, we all want to work. I mean, it's obvious yeah. we're working to make money, to yeah. support our lifestyle, to give us what we need to fulfill our needs. Mm-hmm. So, you know, money is a recognition of
absolutely.
Why we're working.
Yep.
And you can do that. But even how are you going to meet those goals? Even articulating those goals, that was kind of hard for me.
Yeah.
How much do I want to make this year? You know, what's realistic? And yeah. like, that's, I mean, when I met my husband, you know, we were dating for a year. And he's like, so what's the 5-year plan? And I'm like, I don't know what we're having for dinner. And you're talking 5-year plan. Like yeah. that was like, boom, shut yeah. down. I was very much an in the moment kind of person. And
yeah.
that has changed a lot to being able to think in the future.
Right.
And not feel like I have to have an answer about how we get to the future. You know, it's still one day at a time. But
absolutely.
Having some vision now
yes.
helps a lot.
And what does the longer-term vision look like for the business?
I'd like to have a slightly larger client base.
Okay.
You know, more clients. I like the instructors I have working with me are great. Mm-hmm. And they're still looking at instructing as also still learning.
Right.
So I have a great staff. And I want them to get more hours and right. have more clients. So making the business a little more self-sufficient.
Okay.
And also giving myself a bit more time to be involved in things that I care about. So there's the queer community. I told you, you know, that I'm part of a musical, yeah. This Is Me, which is in June. And this is like the annual musical production by Big Apple. And we're right. making it queer themed
yeah.
for Pride Month. And, you know, and that's, again, that's just telling people stories, exposing right. people who aren't in our community,
yeah.
or but, you know, are interested in our community, know people in our community, just giving them a way in, you know, giving them a little bit more.
Right.
And then also, you know, a little bit, wanting to be a little more political in queer rights
okay.
and trans rights. And I feel that's, I'm in a great place. I know who I am. I know where I've been. I recognize other people and where they are at and stuff like that. And I'm in a place where I can stand up for some people who aren't as secure as I am.
Right.
And I feel that's, you know, it's great to be there.
Yeah.
And other people need a voice for them. You know, we talk about, you know, I've seen so many shared things or things from the trans community, particularly because absolutely. They're so targeted right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, if you feel safe, ally, if you feel safe, you know, promote this trans person or speak right. up for the trans person, if you yeah. feel safe. But think about if you don't feel safe saying these things, how does that trans kid feel
absolutely.
Saying these things? So I think if you're in my position or other positions where you know who you are, even if you feel a little less safe, you need to speak or be present,
yeah.
show up, because there are so many people who are far more vulnerable than you are, and they will never have a voice because they are not safe.
Yeah.
So I want more time to touch on that a little bit. I don't think I'm going to be a massive activist, but I do want to be able to go show up
yeah. participate in conversations and be more involved
right.
for people.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, being an activist doesn't have to mean that you're outside at a protest. There's so many other ways to do it.
Yeah.
Whether it be behind the scenes, you know, supporting those events.
Contacting politicians.
Yeah.
Getting involved, being loud.
Yes.
A squeaky voice. Well, yeah. a squeaky wheel. I might be squeaky too.
By the end of it.
Wait a minute! You know, yo!
Yeah.
What's happening to you?
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So just being present, being available. Yeah. Because we're, for many of us, we're in the queer community. We're in a good place now. It's no, it's recognized it's not okay, generally. It's not okay.
No.
In the 1980s, when I was growing up in small town Alberta, it wasn't considered a bad thing to yell out, pardon this, fag, yeah. to somebody. It was considered your entitlement to yeah. out somebody like that because you're a heteronormative person and that
right.
gay dude is wrong.
Yeah.
Now it's very clearly not okay to yeah. do that. And so I think we need to keep that momentum going. Absolutely. And keep saying that is not okay.
Yeah.
That's infringement on human rights. You know, that's bigotry. That's, let's be frank. Yeah. That's not right at all. And I don't like the word fair. It's got nothing to do with fair. It's no. right and wrong.
Exactly.
Human rights are important for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you kind of, you've answered what was kind of the next section I was going to, which is about how you want to get back to your community. So we've just...
I think we did that.
We did. One other part of the business I want to touch on before we kind of jump to the next thing, which is the as I call it, the lightning round. Do you feel being a queer business owner that there's different challenges for you compared if you were a straight business owner in your industry? And it's okay if there's none, right? Like it's because some industries there is and some there isn't, I feel like.
Yeah. I feel like, well... In my industry specifically, generally, I would say not, because a lot of, you know, a lot of Pilates instructors were once dancers.
Right.
The dance community has, you know, quite a number of queer members in it already,
yeah.
Or, you know, closer to the arts. So that I don't. If I were to go to like a CanFit Pro convention on fitness, I might feel a bit odd. Like if I guest taught in front of like 1,000 people after, you know, weightlifter dude had guest taught something, I might feel a little,
That's fair. Yeah.
But I would say actually I've been very fortunate in all of my career, like dance was pretty accepting.
Right.
My friends in the dance world were very accepting. The Pilates world, I think, and the fitness world in general, I think there's such an overlap of queer people in the fitness world,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
And again, I think it's something that you would just call out more quickly if it was a problem.
Yeah.
Really. So no, I don't think that I'm having... I would say living where we live is more of a challenge. You know, like, I'm visible.
Right.
Compared to when I lived in Toronto.
Yeah.
You know, I don't stick out at all in Toronto. Here I stick out. You know, I wear a scarf and a hat that's not a tractor hat, and I stick out. So I think our location is probably more challenging than being in business.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One thing I was saying about when you brought up dancer just a minute ago was I feel like, especially in ballet, that I feel like it's flipped where... Most, if you're a male in ballet, they assume that you're queer versus, right? So straight men actually, and I feel like, and I don't know if the stats or anything.
It's funny because in my experience,
the
ballet companies that I was in are around 25% men might be gay.
Okay.
In the modern world, 95% of men are gay.
Okay.
But, so ballet has that very strong queer association. It's not actually... I've even worked around some companies where I would say they're almost homophobic.
Wow.
In that some, the queer guys in the, and it was men in this case, you know, were a little bit like ostracized because they were gay.
Interesting.
And I want to say also there are gay women in ballet companies.
Sure.
And that's hard on them.
Yeah.
Because you're expected to be a gay man in a ballet company. Not expected to be a gay Snow White or a gay Cinderella or, you know, a gay white swan,
yeah,
right? So for women, I actually think coming out in a ballet company is a lot more challenging than it okay. is for men.
Yeah,
I know that, actually. A very good friend of mine, when I was with Alberta Ballet, she, you know, came out and had a girlfriend, and it was hard.
Yeah,
you know, like, yeah, it was not cool. And I would say the dancers in that company are pretty reasonably respectful, but she still got a bit of flack on yeah. that, you know? And yeah, I'd like to think that's different now, but I haven't been around
right.
a ballet company like that in a while.
Yeah.
I do think the arts world in general has had quite a reckoning over the last 5 years since Me Too.
Yes.
And I think they're taking, you know, the assumption maybe, oh, we're an arts group, we're all open-minded, da-da-da-da. I think that's no longer an assumption.
Okay.
I think organizations are recognizing this takes work.
Right.
We have to work on that. Equality is not. It's an effort. It's a recognition. Yeah. It's giving people a chance to hear them and not being defensive. And
right.
Or, of course, I'm an ally. Or, of course, you're accepted. It's really hearing yeah. someone. So, yeah, no, being in the ballet world or the modern yeah. dance world is a pretty safe place for me, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting that it's different for men versus women in that sphere.
Yeah.
Right? You would just, I mean, I would
assume. Particularly in the classical world.
Yeah.
World. In the modern dance world, it's, that bias isn't there okay. as much. But women are expected to be very feminine in
right.
the ballet world, right? Yeah. Ethereal, feminine, yeah. delicate, you know. So there's quite a stereotype on yeah. them. And yeah, it's quite different.
Yeah.
As you say, unexpected.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, I'm going to switch things out. We're going to go to the lightning round. So it's, don't think about the answer, just whatever the first one comes to mind. It's just, you're literally picking this or that, or at one point, I think it's yes or no kind of thing. So
okay.
and so just, yeah, preference. Dinner at a fancy restaurant or home-cooked meal?
Dinner. Out.
Dinner out.
I love okay. cooking,
yeah.
but it's so much work. I'd rather go out.
Multiple short vacations or one long one in a year?
One long one.
Yeah. Mexico or Hawaii?
Neither.
Spain or Portugal?
Portugal.
Vancouver or Victoria?
Vancouver.
Early riser or like to sleep in?
I was a sleeper in night person, and now I get up at 5 a.m. because we yeah. live on a goddamn farm. So now I'm an to. Early riser because that's when I have quiet time.
That's fair.
I hate admitting that though.
Yeah. I've been working on becoming a better early riser, but yeah. it's a work in progress, especially with my other, like with my business. So
yeah.
If you have a choice, driving or flying?
Ugh. Biking.
Okay. Audiobooks or real books?
Real books.
For the business, do you more of a debit or credit card user?
Credit.
And bank or credit union?
Credit union.
Yeah. Dog or cat person?
Cat. I have a dog and he's sweet, but I'm a cat person.
Okay. Spotify or Apple Music?
Neither.
No? Okay. Popcorn. Are you a popcorn person?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I just find it's one of those things that people kind of love it or hate it.
There's not I'm usually too much quite in the middle. On and off about it. Like
okay.
it's like, oh yes, popcorn. Oh no.
I'm no usually popcorn. Like, yeah, I'm like all for it. Pineapple on pizza.
Sure.
And
you do you.
Yeah, fair. But do you like it on pizza?
I don't mind fruit.
No,
it's fine.
Okay. Just short answers for these next couple. Favorite type of music?
Oh, pop.
Okay.
Dance tracks. Trance. Yeah. Trance. That's it.
There you go.
Trance. House trance. Now I'm ready.
Yeah. Favorite time of year?
Christmas.
And favorite place to travel for vacation?
I don't have one.
Okay. That's fine. And I just got a few last thoughts or questions for you to kind of wrap things up.
Okay.
How do you handle work-life balance and self-care as an entrepreneur?
Ooh. That is hard.
Yeah.
I try to move. Like, okay. it's the irony is that as an instructor, I teach people. And what works in the studio is that I'm watching, I'm guiding people.
Right.
So I'm not leading a class and doing, I don't do 10 Pilates classes a day. Right.
Yeah. You know. Yeah. You might show them the movement, but then
yeah,
that's it.
Yeah. I might demo, but it's really about the client. That's
sure.
There. So part of my self-care is moving.
Yeah.
When and dancing. That was hard when I retired.
I bet.
I didn't realize how much dancing was my self-care. Okay. So when that was gone, I kind of crashed. But dancing is really important and moving. So if I get up to a night, actually, the last dance party you guys had for Vernon Pride.
Oh, at the Elks?
I danced for hours.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. It was so therapy. Actually, an old dancer friend showed up, and we did like a contact improv jam.
Amazing.
It was so great. I love it. So that moving is really important for me. And then turning off your phone.
Right.
When I leave the studio, you know, my phone is on silent or off. I try really hard not to respond to clients, even if it's a quick thing. Yeah. I want to set those boundaries. And I think that's really important. So the phone is off at 5. And if it's over a weekend, I don't respond to any communication until Sunday evening.
Okay.
So people know.
Yeah.
But I think it's important with technology making us so accessible to not be accessible.
Right.
Your technology is for your convenience. True. And cutting that off. Yeah. I think that's important.
That's great.
Work-life balance.
Yeah. And how about how to be resilient as an entrepreneur? Because it can be tough and challenging, right?
How many times did I say COVID today? You know, I work with people and you get shut down and shut down.
Oh, yeah, I know that very much.
Yeah, right? Yeah. take a breath.
Yeah.
You know, take a breath. You're going to... When things go awry, you're going to slip right into fight or flight, primal brain, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it's really take a breath. And, you know, you can slip it into the bigger perspective of, I can still eat right now.
Yeah.
I still have a roof over my head. Hopefully you do. You know, I still have people who care about me or people that I can go to. And then also talk about what the problem is within your business, even if it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
Like money is always embarrassing. When Patrick and I were together, we bought a house and I had to confess my finances.
Right.
Ugh. Yuck. Hated. I was so angry about that. We had quite some arguments about that because it's so personal and it can be so embarrassing if you feel you're in the red.
Yeah.
Right. Or not high enough in the black, but get help. Talk to another business owner, talk to your bank. They'll help you if you have a good relationship with a person or a mentor, but don't stew alone.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a good friend who doesn't know your business, but you can at least get your worries out, your frustration out, your concerns out, because it will help you get perspective on them.
Absolutely.
And unless you're a medical professional, it's usually not life or death.
Yeah.
Right? You've got some time to breathe.
Yeah.
So breathe.
Yeah.
That would be my advice.
I always joke with people that are like, oh, I didn't want to text you because it was late. I'm like, it's fine. My phone goes to silent when I'm asleep because I'm not in a business that's life or death. So, and honestly, if someone was to pass, like, there's nothing I can do. So I might as well enjoy my sleep and then have a good sleep and deal with it when I get up in the morning. And my parents and like one or two of the people are able to get through my do not disturb.
Mm.
And it's because I also know that they will never call unless it's an emergency.
Yeah.
So... Yeah, I completely agree with that.
And that's a good point. If it's that urgent, you're too late anyway.
Yeah.
So, exactly. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, any books or podcasts that you listen to that you'd recommend?
So, huge thing in the fitness world right now, and he's all over the place, is Dr. Atiya.
Okay.
He's got this book called Outlive. And, you know, it's a lot of science behind it. It's a good read. And... we live longer now, right? Our life, my mother-in-law just passed away. She was 98.
Wow.
So we live longer.
Great life, yeah.
But can you move well when you're 98? You know, what is your quality of life like at 98 if you can't move well?
Right.
You know, so longevity, we want our quality of life to match our lifespan.
Right.
So this book, Outlive, really quantifies that a lot. And, you know, I'm 52. Okay. And if I want to feel like I do now when I'm 70, I need to train to be a 70-year-old.
Right.
Actually, I think that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm hoping to live to 70. Even, you know, before I had kids, I thought, you know, when I'm 40, I'm good to die at 40. My friends all make fun of that. They do.
When I turn 25, I'm like, oh, you're halfway to gay death.
Right? Exactly. Totally. So... now I have kids and I care.
Yeah.
And I, you know, not that I play with them, yeah. but I want to be there sure. for them.
Absolutely.
And so you have to train to live longer.
Yeah.
And I think that's this book, Outlive, is a great resource to get that into your mind, what that means,
right.
the effort that's involved. I mean, some of it is very, you know, he's a man of resources. So he talks about all this testing, stuff like that. You don't sure. have to do that.
No.
You just have to recognize life. You, I can't coast now. At my, I mean, I could.
Yeah.
But it's effort to keep going and right. feeling good. And it's good. It's a good effort. Absolutely. So enjoy it and take mm-hmm. pleasure in it. And, yeah. you know, because at 70, things change. You know, things change at 50. Things on a cellular level
yeah.
that we can't stop.
Right.
So you have to do what you can and enjoy movement. And so anyway, that's my book.
That's great.
I recommend I love that. It. He probably has podcasts. He talks with other yeah. health professionals. You know, don't get sucked into doing multiple blood tests and finding out your hormone, da-da-da-da-da. But I think it's a good read.
Yeah.
And it's an easy read.
Well, I think it's sometimes too much information can almost be a bad thing in that sense, yeah. right? Because then you go down the rabbit hole.
Well, yeah. Of, oh my right? God. Right.
So, and I think when you were talking about there about living longer is the people whose house I take care of in Kelowna, like he's 70 and he's got more energy than most 30-year-olds I know. Like this guy does not stop moving. Like it just, he's always got a project and always stuff on the go.
Mm-hmm.
And I was joking with his wife. I'm like, honestly, if he ever stopped, he's probably when he would fall over and be done.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like that's just how he's trained his body, so he just needs to keep he yeah. keeps doing it, right?
Yeah.
And yes, he has his down days, like anyone does. But
you can think of our bodies as an ottoman, a wind up toy.
Yeah.
If we move it, we're winding up our springs, right. and yeah. we keep moving.
Totally.
Movement is self fulfilling.
Yeah.
And just like even just the basic structure of our feet, it's like a bunch of little springs, and every time right. you walk, you get a spring.
Yeah.
And that is winding you up. Yeah. So, I mean, on the far end, my mom is probably not going to watch this. You know, she retired at 55
okay.
and wanted to read. And that's yeah. what she has done.
Okay.
And orthopedically, she's a bit of a nightmare now.
Right.
Because she stopped, you know, walking and stuff, yeah. but wasn't involved anymore
right.
or as active anymore. And that's, you know, that's her. That's fine.
Absolutely.
But, you know, it's her hips are toast.
Sure.
And that's not great.
No. Yeah, you definitely have to keep moving. exactly. I like it. So it's been nice to move around a bit. Is there anything else about your business that we haven't touched on that you want to talk about before I ask kind of my last question that I have?
No, I think
okay.
we've in a lot of different moments.
Yeah, totally.
I think there's a yeah. pretty complete idea.
Absolutely.
Of what it's like.
That's great. And I always like to close up with if someone's watching this and they're considering, you know, an entrepreneurship journey, what advice would you give them?
Talk to other business people,
okay.
even if it's not directly related.
Yeah.
Go to Community Futures or like your Chamber of Commerce or something like that.
Some type of business and support group.
Yeah. There are government funded organizations for entrepreneurs.
Totally.
And they really want to encourage that. There can be
yeah.
granting opportunities. There can be the competition that gave me a lot of resources with Absolutely. Mentorship and education.
Yeah.
So you don't have to be, oh, I have this idea and just produce it on your own.
Right.
So look at, you know, I guess you could look up, you know, Canadian entrepreneur support online and start there. Because I think there's a lot of resources that none of us know.
Yeah.
I didn't know to go to Community Futures. My husband, who's been an entrepreneur forever,
yeah.
he knew. And he said, okay. well, you should go here.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay. Who knew? He's right.
Well, there we go. We got to have him on this podcast at some point, right? too. Yeah.
Like,
well, it is. There are so many groups out there. Because I've worked in economic development, you know, prior to having Rebellious Unicorns and between Small Business BC. And the interesting thing, I think, too, is while there's Community Futures all over the place, all of them operate very differently too. Mm. So you do got to be a researcher. So maybe it's a chamber one place, Community Futures another, someone else somewhere else. But I think the federal government does have a really good resource bank,
yeah.
a lot of them, because most of them are federally funded,
right? Because they know they're going to get people's taxes that way.
Right? Right?
Growing business. They want your good.
Money.
Yeah.
And I want them to have my money because I want my kids to be educated.
Right.
So, no, I would take your idea.
Yeah.
Talk about it.
Agreed.
You know, start small.
Yeah.
And, you know, have fun.
Agreed. That's great. Well, thanks so much.
My pleasure.
Thanks for the movement today, for the discussion. I've really enjoyed it and seeing your beautiful property here. And yeah, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Queerpreneurs Unleashed. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Sean.
Thank you. Bye.
Beautiful. That was great. Thank you. Bye.